We look back upon that first Easter, and we remember all the excitement, but we also understand all the turmoil. Much happened in 3 days, and the followers of Jesus Christ really experienced not just one day, but 3 days that they would never forget upon that first Easter. If you would, go back in Luke to chapter 23 and begin at verse number 50, and let's notice that first day, because the first day was Friday, the day of the crucifixion. Friday was a day of painful darkness. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision, indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no man had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Friday. To the Jewish person, Friday was the preparation day. The next day would be the Sabbath day, the holiest day of the week. But this Friday was a special day. We look back in history. This day was a day of painful darkness. There was a physical darkness, a darkness that covered the land from 12 o'clock as Jesus hung upon the cross to 3 in the afternoon when the sin of all mankind was laid upon his shoulders and he paid for our sin debt in full. There was also a time of inner darkness, of sorrow and sadness and shock for those who were followers of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that in the hour of sorrow, faithfulness is tested. We meet a man here, Joseph of Arimathea. We may have seen him before in the Gospels. We may not have recognized him very much, but he was a man who was a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. As we put the Gospels together, we realize that he came to believe in Jesus Christ, but he didn't declare himself. He didn't come out and let everybody know he was a disciple. He was a secret follower. Today, many times, a person comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and at first they're a little timid. At first, they may not let everyone know. We should tell the world that we are Christians. But sometimes we're not bold when we first come to know Christ. Joseph of Arimathea was not a bold man. But now is an hour of sadness. Now he sees this one that he was following secretly, and he is taken out openly and nailed to a cross, and for 6 hours hangs there. And after the final 3 hours of darkness, crying out such things as, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he bore the sin debt. And saying, I thirst, and fulfilling prophecy, and then dismissing his spirit and giving it into God's hands. Now he's going through darkness. Is this Joseph? And in the hour of sorrow, often faithfulness is tested. When the whole world seems to fall apart, would he stay faithful? It'd be so easy now. He'd been a secret disciple. It'd be so easy for him to slip into the background and never let anyone else know that he had been a follower of Jesus Christ. Or when this one that he had believed in died upon the cross, would he stay faithful? Sometimes in our lives, we go through hours of darkness, emotional darkness, physical darkness, sometimes spiritual darkness. Just because we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior does not mean that we are given a free ticket and we're never going to suffer. If someone told you when you came to know Christ that everything would be a bed of roses and everything would be just wonderful from there on, they were either deceived or they lied to you. That's when the battle begins. We're not on a playground, we're on a battlefield. And often in this life we go through sorrows. And sometimes we think we have it all together. And then the world falls apart. And when the world seems to fall apart around us, will we stay faithful? Joseph did. In the hour of sorrow, sometimes decisions are made. Indeed, it's often the hour of crisis that clears our vision and causes us to do what we should have done long before. Joseph was a council member. He was part of the Jewish Sanhedrin. Think of the Jewish Supreme Court. But not only deciding on laws, but also often enforcing the laws. And maybe he'd been reluctant to openly follow Jesus Christ because of what it would mean to his political career, what it would mean to his social life, his standing in the eyes of others. But now, in this hour of darkness, he courageously declares himself once and for all to be a disciple of Christ. Instead of slipping back into the background, he boldly goes to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Maybe surprising Pilate. Pilate would have known who he was, but he didn't know he was a follower of Jesus. And asking for the body of our Lord. And then taking it, would bury it. Often when we go through those hours of darkness, those hours of sorrow, our eyes clear. Decisions we need to have made in the past, they become easy to make. Choices that we have not made, we make because God speaks to our heart and we know what we need to do. In the hour of sorrow, sometimes love is proved. Love is demonstrated by sacrifice. It's interesting, one of the best known verses of the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we see the love of God demonstrated. You know, it's been said that you can give and not love, but you can't love and not give. This man here gave. He showed his love in this hour of sorrow. His love was proved. How? He takes the body and he wraps it. And with Nicodemus, he buries it. It's interesting, he buries it in a tomb. Think of a mausoleum. He buries it here in the tomb, in this cave. And we find that this cave was one in which never a person had laid before. Matthew is interesting. Matthew tells us it was Joseph's own tomb. You say, well, Pastor, he's not from Jerusalem. He's from Arimathea. No, but you have to understand, Jerusalem was a holy city. All Jews would love to be buried at Jerusalem. And this man is rich. And at great expense, he buys a tomb at Jerusalem, in which he plans to be buried when he dies. And in love, he gives that tomb to Jesus. You see, in the hour of sorrow, love is proved. Often in our lives, when we go through times of sorrow, it really delves down into our heart and it shows who we love and what we love. When we go through those hard times, do we love Jesus? Does he mean all the world to us? Is he the one we turn to for comfort? Is he the one we turn to be consoled? To be given guidance? Friday was a day of painful darkness, but it wasn't the end. Come Saturday. Saturday is a day of long waiting. Verses 55 and 56. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Saturday, a day of waiting. Now, Friday seemed to have, in many ways, ended it all. But then comes Saturday, the Sabbath day. As we compare the Gospels, we find some interesting things. First of all, during this day of waiting, some scheme, some plot, If we go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and verses 62 through 66, we read about the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish high priesthood, the Jewish religious leaders who had just condemned Jesus Christ. And we find on that Saturday, they come to Pontius Pilate, and they say to him, "We remember." It's funny, they remembered. His disciples forgot in their sorrow. But these crafty leaders did not forget. "We remember that this pretender said that he would rise again. Therefore, we don't want anything to happen so that his disciples might come and take his body away, and then the tomb will be empty, and therefore they could say he rose. Give us a Roman guard, and let us seal the tomb, and put a guard there, so that no one can take the body." And Pontius Pilate said, "You have the guard, make it as secure as you can." And they sealed the tomb. Isn't it interesting that they plotted and they schemed? But praise God they did, because it's one of the greatest proofs of all. I mean, what happened to Jesus? His tomb's empty? And in the weeks to follow, when the apostles would be later proclaiming on the day of Pentecost, and later, he is risen from the dead. The Jewish leaders couldn't say anything. If he'd been dead, they could have went out and said, "Look, here's his body." But it wasn't there, because he was risen. And God uses even the plotting of men to bring his own glory. God is sovereign. God is in control. Sometimes when we go through heartaches and trials, we don't want to trust in God. We want to scheme. We want to plot. We want to figure our own way out. I think it was Warren W. Wiersbe. It said, "Faith is living without scheming." We trust in him. During the waiting, some reproached themselves. Could you imagine Peter? Peter, who had followed Jesus for 3.5 years, been one of the very first disciples. Peter, who had been called by Jesus away from the boats to say, "I will make you a fisher of men." Peter, who had said, "Although all else forsake you and deny you, I won't." And yet he warmed himself by the fire of the enemy and 3 times said, "I don't know him." And he went out and wept bitterly. I don't think his weeping ended on Thursday night. I think he wept more and more as he thought about his Savior being crucified. I think he wept on that Saturday and sorrowed of heart and reproached himself more and more and thought, "Why didn't I die with him? Why didn't I stay faithful?" Often during our times of darkness, our minds won't let us rest. We remember each mistake. We remember each flaw and how we would love to do it over again and have said something different, have done something different. But we can't go back and change the past. And often in the day of waiting, we just keep reproaching ourselves. During the time of waiting, some doubted the Lord. We learn that later, when Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas, one of his disciples, when he heard of the resurrection, said, "I won't believe it. Not I can't believe it. I won't believe it unless I see him personally. Unless I examine his wounds, I won't believe." Can you imagine Thomas, who loved the Lord so much? At one time he said, when they thought that Jesus was going and people he would die, he said, "Let us go and die with him." Thomas loved the Lord. And yet I'm sure on that Saturday his mind was filled with doubts. Thomas is referred to in the Gospels as Didymus, or the twin. We don't meet his twin in the Bible, but often we meet his twin in our own lives. Where's the Thomas? Where's the doubter? It's easy to praise God when everything goes right. It's hard when things go wrong. And then when we're waiting, what is God going to do? Was God going to do something? It's so easy to doubt. During the waiting, some prepared, to serve the Lord. They didn't understand. They hurt. But they said, we're going to serve. These women watched the body of Jesus being buried. They saw all the ointments and the spices that went into this. But I have to understand, their embalming wasn't like our embalming today. It wasn't like that. And so it was customary for people to go in the days following it and add more spices and do different things of this nature. And the women hurried to the market before it closed that Friday night, because everything was closed from Friday night to Saturday night during the Sabbath. And they bought the spices. They took them home. And being the Sabbath, they wouldn't work on the Sabbath. But they worked on to it beforehand. I'm sure afterwards maybe they worked on it some on Saturday night, preparing these spices to go and anoint the dear body of Jesus. They said, we don't understand. It's a time of doubting of some. It's a time of scheming for others. It's a time for mourning. But in this time of waiting, we will prepare to serve. When we go through the heartaches and we go through the trials, it's good to remember that God is in control. And not understanding, say, but we will continue to serve as God gives us opportunity. Praise God, Friday's passed. Saturday's come and gone. It is time for Sunday. Sunday is a day of glorious dawning. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, in other words, as the day dawned, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. And they, the two men, said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Sunday was a day of glorious dawning. You know, when God's day dawns, obstacles are removed. These women, when they were on their way to the tomb, began to speak to themselves, saying, well, you know, they rolled a big stone, and this thing was massive, weighing tons. These ladies would not have been able to have gotten it rolled back. It was relatively easy for men to roll it and get it started to begin with, and then it would go down into a slot. But to get it to go back up the incline and open the door. Now, the soldiers had checked the tomb, but then it had gone down, and they had sealed it. There was an obstacle there of that stone. And then I'm sure the ladies knew that the soldiers were there and had sealed the tomb. Would the soldiers let them pass or not? But when they arrived, the stone was rolled away. And the soldiers were almost basically in a dead faint because of what had happened. You see, the obstacles of circumstances, the stone was removed. The enemies, the soldiers, were taken out of the way. When the day dawns, when God works in our lives, when the day will dawn, when Jesus Christ will return again, obstacles will be removed. Our enemies will be defeated. God will do what he wants to do, and God is sovereign, and he will complete his purpose. We can trust in him. When God's day dawns, faith is renewed. Those women came and saw the empty tomb, and later that morning, they were met by Jesus himself, and they worshiped him. Their faith was renewed. He who they thought was dead and all their hopes were destroyed, he's alive. The apostles, John and Peter, when they reported about this, they run to the tomb and they look inside and they see an empty tomb. And later that day, Jesus will come to them and will meet with them. Their faith is renewed. We go through times of darkness. We go through times of waiting. But when the day dawns where Jesus Christ works in our lives, our faith is renewed because we are children of His. When God's day dawned, confidence is restored. John ran with Peter to that tomb. And being younger than Peter, he outran Peter. I like that little personal note there. The younger man outruns the older man. And he gets to the tomb, but he just kind of looks in. He's younger. He's not going to enter the tomb. Peter comes puffing up and he goes right on in. And then John goes in. And John has a deeper insight than Peter. Peter's confused. John looks and sees the grave clothes lying there like a cocoon. Not torn apart, but just in the shape of a body, but no body there. He sees the facial napkin laid and folded to the side. Nobody there. And John believes. Even before he saw the risen Lord, John believed. Sometimes we go through darkness and we wonder about our faith. But when God works and the day dawns, our faith is restored. Peter's sins were forgiven. He'd reproached himself, the sin of denying his Lord. But when he, that afternoon, we find Jesus met with him before he met with all the others. His sins were forgiven. Peter is restored. Sometimes our darkness and suffering come because we have failed God. But when God's grace dawns and our day dawns, our sin is forgiven because we are His children and He forgives us over and over and over. The God of the second, the third, the fourth, and more chance. And our sin is forgiven and we're restored to fellowship. Thomas's doubts were dispelled when he saw the risen Lord. We go through the darkness, we go through the heart, we go through the waiting. Sometimes we doubt, but when God's day dawned, our faith is renewed. Our doubts are gone. We have confidence again to serve our Lord. And when God's day dawned, victory is assured. He is not here, but is risen. That is the death knell of Satan, of sin, death, and hell. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about eternity. It's like a bee flying around with no sting because Jesus broke the sting off in his own body. And death is a powerless enemy. And victory is assured. Jesus has promised to return for his church and we will go to be with him. He has promised that after 7 years of judgment upon the earth, he will return and we will return with him. He has promised that we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years upon this earth, and then we will be with him for all of eternity. Victory is assured. How about you today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? If you've never accepted Christ, the Bible refers to you as being lost. In other words, you're lost away from God. But he's done everything he can to bring you back to him. Today, all 3 days meet. The darkness of sin, the darkness of being away from God, the time of waiting and doubt. How can I come to know God? Because of the message of Easter, he is risen. The day of God's grace dawns. You don't need to work for salvation. All you need to do is trust and receive it as a free gift. Turn from your life of sin. Turn from trying to earn your own salvation. Take God at his word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And ask Jesus to be your Savior.
He'll change this life for you. He'll give you eternity if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. Won't you do that today?
But you say, Pastor, I've done that. If you already accepted Christ, if you've already been found by Him, have been saved, have been redeemed, which day are you experiencing today? In the day of darkness, when the trials come, the hurts come, and the heartaches come, never doubt that the day of dawning and victory will break. Remember, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. Just because you don't see how it's all going to work out doesn't mean it won't work out. The book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's like a captain of a ship in years gone by sailing under sealed orders. He doesn't know what he's to do, but he trusts his great high admiral. We don't know how things may work out, obviously, but we trust in God. Victory will come. In the day of waiting, never give up. Never throw in the towel. Your master is in charge of all things, and all will work together for good. Now, his timing may not always be our timing, but it's always the best timing. It's well been said, the glory of tomorrow is rooted in the drudgery of today. Don't give up. And in the day of dawning, rejoice. Rejoice in God and rejoice in your salvation. Give Him the honor, the glory, and the praise. And rededicate yourself to serve Him throughout all of your life from a heart filled with gratitude. And my friends, we stand upon the brink of a new day of dawning when Jesus Christ will return in the air. Let's wait for that day. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the dawning of that day. Almost 2,000 years ago, for what it means in our lives today, eternal salvation. And there be one here which does not know Jesus, may this be the day of their salvation. And for us, dear Lord, who serve You, may we wait for the dawning of the day, dear Lord, yet in the future, the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You. We praise You. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's close today with one more song. Because He Lives. you have plenty of flowers up here. Ladies, please take one and take it home with you. God bless you. You're dismissed.